Shadrakovarajati, Nahiyatrati Samayaha, Vajay Shvetadri Kanahamiha Kalokamiti, Vidanta Sankarshiti, Viralachara Kadipi, Vishwara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha,
Anadiradi Bhavidra,
Sarva Karana Karanam. Om Ajnana Chimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Namdeham Sri Guru Sri Yatapavutamayam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Tatanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pananami Haripini Vantha Kalpatarudhascha Kripasindhubi Agacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Initiation into Krishna consciousness is most auspicious. After wandering throughout many universes for many lifetimes, a jiva may decide that now I want Krishna and I want prepared to do anything that is required to attain Krishna. So Krishna is very kind, not much is required to attain him. The blessings of the Vaishnava, particularly the blessings of bona fide guru and parampara, they are required. And also from the disciple's part, the endeavor is required, particularly to chant the holy names of Krishna purely. And along with that comes the service mood, the desire to serve purely, because chanting Hare Krishna means praying to Krishna to please engage me in your service, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna. You want to translate that?
Yeah.
Sometimes initiation in Krishna consciousness is referred to as initiation into chanting the holy names of Krishna. On such occasions, Srila Prabhupada would always have some discussion of these 10 offenses against the holy name that prevent us from chanting the names of Krishna purely. So we shall discuss this. Daily we are reciting the 10 offenses against the holy name, and daily we are committing them also. And we should consider very carefully, therefore some discussion is required. The first offense is literally stated sadhuninda, sadhuninda, to blaspheme saintly person. Srila Prabhupada has explained this, that particularly this means to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names throughout the world. And we find in scripture many descriptions, just like we heard this morning, of Kaliya, who is offensive to Garuda. And we heard of Devananda Pandit,
who is offensive to Shiva.
Many examples given in Shastra
of
even very great and powerful personalities who were rejected by Krishna, Of course, in the case of Kali and Sivananda Pandit, they were again accepted, but they were rejected for their offenses to great Vaishnavas. We have seen in our movement also, even very empowered devotees have serious difficulties, which can be traced to offenses against Vaishnavas. Unfortunately, we can experience in our own lives the effects of this also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described this as the mad elephant offense. A garden may be cultivated, it may take many years to grow various beautiful ornamental trees and shrubs to lay it out very carefully. But that same garden that took many years to cultivate can be destroyed very quickly if a mad elephant enters it and starts tearing everything up and trampling everything. So offense is to Vaishnavas, to all Vaishnavas, but as Prabhupada has particularly mentioned, to those who are preaching the glories of the Holy Name all over the world, it can very quickly destroy one's devotional advancement, even if it's been cultivated for many years.
Devociju koja je bila kultivirana tokom mnogo godina. Zato moramo biti jako pažljivi što se toga tiče i jako pažljivi da razmislimo.
The second offense,
druga uvreda,
is to equate the chanting of names of demigods with those of the names of Lord Vishnu. Now we see most of these offenses, they have philosophical basis. And it may not be that just exactly at the time of chanting that one may make some offenses. To consider the names of demigods equal to those of Lord Vishnu, it's actually a philosophical mistake. It goes on in the mind. It's not like Sadhu Ninda, one may physically or verbally mistreat Vaishnavas, of course even mentally to think badly is not good, but it's an act. Whereas to consider demigods equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu,
it is
part of one's attitude or misunderstanding. So implicit in the recitation of the offenses is the need to hear from bona fide Vaishnava who explain what is the actual position of Krishna and what is our position in relationship with him. Otherwise we may make these mistakes. Of course we don't see so much in this country demigod worshippers, but no doubt in due course of time they may come, just that we have full-fledged sahajiyas, so everything else may come. So we should be careful and understand very clearly from Shastra what is the position of Krishna. Chanting has to be accompanied by hearing and study of Shastra under the guidance of one's guru and Vaishnavas in parampara. Otherwise, misunderstandings are certain, and then we can't chant properly. There are many people in India who chant Hare Krishna or other names of Vishnu, but they make this offense. They consider that Krishna is one of many gods. Therefore, they cannot attain
Krishna by such chanting.
The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master or to consider him an ordinary person. This, unfortunately, is commonly committed, even though devotees, they accept the spiritual master. But many were seen, unfortunately, after some time, they have another idea. We don't have to chant
16
we shouldn't be too fanatical, we don't have to follow all the principles, Krishna is very kind, and they'll make so many justifications. But actually, particularly after taking initiation and vowing in the presence of Lord Vishnu as the sacred fire, in the presence of Lord Vishnu as the deities, in the presence of the Vaishnavas, the presence of Guru, after vowing to follow all these principles, one should be very serious to follow them throughout one's life. And if the quiet life after life, we hope not to
be
necessary. Also, so this initiation is extremely serious.
And have a
firm commitment. Anything can happen in this material
world.
But whatever happens, I've made my vow, and I will stick with it. And even others around us may say, oh, it's not very important,
kaže, to možda nije doesn't tako matter, nema veze, don't be fanatical, and so on and so on.
That we should remember that the vows
da,
we have made
da, da
to
Guru,
Guru is the representative of Krishna,
Krishna,
and how serious it is to follow
kako,
them. Also
to
consider
to moram da
the Guru, an ordinary person, he may appear in many ways to be an ordinary person. He walks and talks and eats
na
and
jako sleeps. Mnogo na načina, on hoda, priča, jede, spava,
passes
bodily tijelo.
Fluids and solids from his body. Physically appears to be and is
on
but we are enjoying to see the spiritual character, not the bodily function. What is he speaking of? What is his purpose in life?
If
you have a bona fide guru, his life is dedicated to Krishna and there's no other business than serving Krishna. And we should see that and not from the external point of view,
the
connection with Krishna makes him a transcendental person, will make us also transcendental person. See our Guru in that light and relate with him in that light. Then, to consider the glories of the holy name. No, I missed out number 4. Shruti Shastra Nindaram. To blaspheme the Vedic literatures. Or literature in pursuance of the
Vedic.
Again, this requires a proper understanding of etiquette. Who is Krishna? How should we see him? Who is the Guru? How should we see him? What are the Shastras? How should we see them? So, Shastra, that is always to be respected. That means not only that the book itself must be respected. We don't sit above the Shastra. We don't lean on the Shastra. We don't use the Shastra for... We take a piece of paper, we want to write a note. We don't lean on the Bhagavad Gita to do this.
Things
should not be done. But also the message in Shastra. What is Shastra teaching? That we have to understand Shastra is non-different from Krishna. So Guru Sadhu Shastra Bhasha Chitete Kare Aikya Ana Kare Homani Asha. The words of Guru Sadhu and Shastra fix up in our heart and not desire anything else. So understanding Shastra to be non-different from Krishna, we have to be extremely respectful. If we don't understand something in Shastra, or if we have difficulty in accepting it, we should understand that this is our weakness or our incompleteness, not that Shastra is wrong. We should be very careful not to hear from mundane scholars, Mayavadi, and various persons who don't have this reverence for Shastra, and who misinterpret and malinterpret Shastra in their own ways. Therefore, we have to hear Shastra from Guru and the bona fide parampara. Then to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. There are many descriptions given in Shastra of the glories of the holy name, that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, even, for instance, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, even once one can be freed from more sinful reactions than he can commit in many, many millions of lifetimes.
Or
that very quickly by chanting Hare Krishna one can attain love of God. So again, exercising our mundane intelligence, our useless mundane intelligence, which is kept us bound in material life for many years, many, many millions of lifetimes, we may think, well, that seems to be, how can I accept that? I don't see people attaining love of God. Again, we should understand this to be our faulty vision.
Naša pogrešna vizija.
And not to consider the glories of chanting to be.
I da ne smatramo slavno nastanje svetog imena kao imaginacija.
Similarly to put some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. This is the activity of mundane scholars of Sanskrit who like to interpret in various non-devotional ways. Krishna is black.
Krishna je crn.
Black means unknown.
Crn znači nepoznat.
Krishna is impersonal. In various ways.
Razni razni.
They interpret due to envy of Krishna. So we should not do that. Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Son of Mother Yashoda. This is Krishna.
To je Krishna.
Then to commit
sinful activity. Aktivnost na račun mantra svetog imena.
This is stated to be such an offense that even Yamaraj cannot purify one of this offense.
Da to tako je da čak ni Yamaraj ne može da to.
If one is sinful, then he will be punished by Yamaraj, and then the sinful effect will diminish. But this offense of sinning on the strength of the holy name, that one may be punished by Yamaraj, but that effect will remain. Such a deep contamination. It's a rather gross example, which I sometimes give, but it brings out the grossness of this offense. It's like passing stool and then expecting Krishna should come and clean it up. And singing and then Krishna should clean it up. So a very offensive mentality. One should not sing.
I'll
just chant Hare Krishna. Then it'll be all
right.
Krishna will not forgive. If one is repent for having lived a sinful life and then chant, then Krishna will agree. Krishna is very merciful, but he's not foolish. He won't accept our trying to use him
neće dopustiti da mi da pokušavamo da ga upotrijebimo kao čistaču.
Rather that will make us more simple in the sense.
To će nas prije učiniti jako mnogo više.
Then to equate the chanting of the holy names with mundane pious activities. There are many, many mundane pious activities.
Postoji jako mnogo svjetovnih
pobožnih djela. Some of them which are parallel with devotional activities, such as performing sacrifices, giving charity, visiting holy places, performing austerities and vows. And even there are many people, not so many of them, but still several people in India who regularly chant the holy names of the Lord, thinking that they're doing so because they're thinking, well, this is mentioned in Shastra, this is the topmost pious activity which can clean one from all sins, is to chant the holy names of the Lord, which is true. But if we take the holy name as being just another pious activity that relieves us of sinful activities and gives us more material facilities in future,
it's
a gross underestimation of the holy name, not appreciating that the holy name is Krishna and Krishna gives himself to us in the form of the holy name and lifts us to a transcendental position far beyond any position that can be attained by mundane pious activities such as performing sacrifices, observing vows and all such activities perform within the Karmakanda section of the
Veda.
Then to preach the glories of the holy name to faithless people,
which is also offensive,
to ask anyone to chant, anyone may be asked to chant the holy name, but to expound the glories of the holy name to faithless people who don't have faith, then they'll simply become more offensive. So if one has not got sufficient faith, one should not explain the intricacies and the mysteries of the holy name to such people. Such glorification of the holy name should be carried out among the
devotees.
Then, the tenth thing, that even after hearing so many instructions about the holy name, the glories of the holy name, the glories of devotional service, if one still deliberately cultivates a material concept of life and doesn't seriously endeavor to become
detached,
then that's also anything. In other words, it's also offensive not to be serious in devotional service.
If one takes
devotional service as a hobby, or he takes it whimsically, that is also offensive, because Krishna is the life and soul of all existence, and not to accept Krishna, to take it very light-heartedly, and not to give our whole heart and soul to Krishna, is also offensive to Krishna. That example was given in the class this morning. Krishna wants to reciprocate with Kaliya's embrace.
Then
Krishna is coming to embrace us. And if we don't reciprocally embrace him, but we just kind of push him away or half-heartedly embrace him, Krishna won't be very
pleased.
Actually, we're not embracing Krishna, we're simply hoping to fall in the dust of his lotus feet. But not to do that, not to take up Krishna's
responsibility,
then it becomes offensive to
Krishna.
Then it's also mentioned as an offense
kao uvreda,
to be inattentive
da budemo nepažljivi
while chanting
dok mantramo svita imena.
And generally this question is asked
repeatedly,
how can we chant it?
Kako da mantramo svita imena pažljivi? Svi imaju
problema. We've been deliberately ignoring Krishna for so many lifetimes, and we're in a contaminated state of not being attracted to Krishna. So we have to develop attachment to Krishna by repeatedly chanting his holy name. In the beginning it may seem difficult to be attentive, so we have to try, we have to go on trying. That means also we should develop good japa habits, not that we're reading a newspaper while chanting our own, watching the TV, playing around on the computer,
and this is not
proper chanting of the holy name. We should try, sit, walk, not do anything else, just chant the holy name, and in this way pray to Krishna for chanting the holy name. This is the crucial activity of devotional service,
which
devotees accept initiation into.
Hare Krishna.
Om Maganata Niranjasya Gyanatana Shilakshaya Chakshu Niriram Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namo Vistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dratti Sabarantitam Namo Vishnu Braya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Sri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Trinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Yevisatsa Sundjavari Paskachare Zatarine Vantaka Pataruvjata Kripa Sindhu Vrayvata Patita Nambapa Vevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sridharita Garaha Sivasadi Go Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Sri Varakunjadi Hare Ji Ki. So I think it's very special to be able to take initiation in front of so many deities. Everyone's there many times. So that means they're all observing the vows that are being made. As we've been having programs here, this has become like a theater, at least this area. I was thinking it's also special, myself being able to do this with Bhakti Prakash Swami. He's one of our most Vedic sannyasis, and
so
therefore to do some particular samskara with him is something very special.
Zato je jako posebno raditi neku samskarsku posljednju.
But we should know that the words that he is sharing and the words that I'm sharing, they're not just for the six initiates we have here. They're actually for all of us. How many who are amongst us now have already taken initiation? Raise your hand. So those who have already made this vow should be the most attentive also. As the ceremony goes on, any of those who have become a little slack or a little weak,
to
see this as a time to reconfirm their vows. Those who may be thinking in the future of taking initiation, to listen close to what is being asked, requested, what the commitments are, so that you're clear in your mind. We have too many cases of people who take initiation, stay around for a few years, and then they leave, or they break their vows. I'm on a 35 country tour. This is, I think, number 27 to 28. And several times we've been given initiation. And I was thinking more and more how this is the most dangerous activity that one can engage in. You think about that for a moment. It is the most dangerous for the disciple, because the disciple is giving up a past identity.
The
disciple is becoming a representative connected with the Parampara system. And now for their thoughts should basically be how to please Krishna, how to please Guru, how to be a proper sadhu, how to live by the sadhu. It is the most dangerous thing because the disciple is saying, I am surrendering my body, my mind, my intelligence, and hopefully one day my will to Krishna, and it's done through his agent. That is a very serious commitment. You will position yourself to become a puppet on the order of Krishna. It is the most dangerous thing for a guru, because every guru is a sadhu, is a disciple. There is nothing that can interfere more with discipleship than trying to be a master. So it is most dangerous for guru, because guru is a proper representative to the degree that he is a first-class disciple. Nothing can challenge that more than being received, prayed to, worshipped, and respected as a master. If one starts thinking that he is such, then he becomes an embarrassment. So this is a very dangerous ceremony. At the same time, it is the most important connection that you can make in this lifetime, because you're making a formal connection to be lifted out of this world of Marchaloka, process of samsara, repeated birth and death. So this disciple-guru connection is more important than any contract, any relationship that you've had up until this time. So you have a little while longer to think about if you really want to sit in this arena. If you have some doubts, if you can follow these rules and regulations, if you have any doubts that you're not ready to be a proper ambassador connected with the Parampara, then we'll all respect your honesty and you can remove from where you're sitting. If you're clear that this is what you are making your vow for, then all help will come to the degree of your sincerity. This is actually a very complex samskara. Because in one sense, it's like a funeral, it's like a birth, and it's like a wedding, all simultaneously. It's like a funeral because it is death to your previous identity, connected with the body, and sense gratification. It's death to bad patterns that cause us to think that we are the enjoyer. It is life or birth to a new awareness where you're realizing that you must constantly keep your priority based on the devotional activity. All of the things are there and they should be done nicely, but they're secondary. We do the secondary things nicely so we have more facility to access the primary. It is like a wedding because it is a contract of love. Disciple is saying, I will do my very best that I will be a good representative of one who is ready to accept instruction and ready to follow them. Due to my love of what Krishna has given us, due to my love of my guru, I will work extremely hard, even when my mind, intelligence, and senses say that I should pursue sense gratification. My love will check that. It is a love contract with guru, as he is saying, I will do all within my ability, and I will pray to do that beyond my ability to be able to help you in the greatest way that I can. So I want to share one or one and a half short stories and then we go with the ceremony, because it's a chance always for greater purification for those who are participating as disciple and guru, and those who look on, because we all have chance to benefit from such ceremony, from the action as well as from the reflection. So I want to personally use each of these ceremonies as a chance to also become a more qualified servant, or to become a qualified servant. As we're doing something dangerous, we must be very careful that we do it in the right way and get the most auspicious results. So we have one wonderful example in Chaitanya Lila of Sri Sarangadeva. Sarangadeva was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He was doing so much work, so much sadhana, so much puja. Lord Chaitanya was somewhat disturbed that he was doing all of this by himself. So he asked him to make disciples. Sarangadeva thought, what is the need? Why make disciples? Simply it gives one pride. Simply it causes one to sometimes lose their sense of humility. It becomes so much preoccupation that can take away from one's sweet smarana on Krishna. He said, after all, who is even qualified during this time? Lord Chaitanya explained to him that you can make disciples and you can make them qualified to do this on his behalf. Sarangadeva, understanding Lord Chaitanya's desire, Lord Chaitanya wanted disciples to get his shelter as well as to assist him in his service. So a disciple is assisting the guru, who is a disciple, in being able to offer more service to his guru. So the more the bona fide connection is there, the more healthy service is rendered to one's guru. When you act improperly, you're offering your guru something unhealthy to offer to his guru.
Onda nudite svome guru nešto što on treba da
kaže. Again, this is very serious.
Opet ovo je jako ozbiljno.
So Sarangadeva agreed, the first person that he would see that next day, that he would make him a disciple. He got up very early during the Brahma Mumurta hour.
On se ustao jako rano u Brahma Mumurta.
As he was taking bath, the first person he saw was a dead corpse floating down the river. He remembered his promise to Lord Chaitanya. So he grabbed the corpse and he chanted mantra in the ear. By his potency, the soul entered back into the body. And this young boy came alive again. Just a short time he was about to take Brahman initiation, he had gotten bitten by a snake and it died. People threw his body into the river. When his family heard that he had been revived, they came to reclaim him. But he was so fixed in his service, his appreciation that is of Sarangadeva, and this connection of discipleship. Because by chanting in his ear, he gave him initiation, accepted him as a disciple. And so he fixed his life in service to his guru. And Sarangadeva fixed himself in service to those under his care due to the order of Mahaprabhu. So there are two parts of this. This first part is that we also pray that one day we can become such type of guru, where there can be so much desire to carry out the order of Srila Prabhupada, of Mahaprabhu, that they can work through us in this way. Now last, I'd like to give you this story in relationship to the gravity of discipleship and connection with Guru also. There's a story of Ramanujacharya. He had two very special disciples named Koresh and Mahapurana. Ramanuja was very powerful and he was very popular. The Shaivite king became extremely disturbed. He wanted to convert Ramanuja to acceptance of Mayavadi philosophy, to become a Shaivite. So he called him to come to his kingdom and to have discourse or argument with some Shaivite pundits. But he had a very wicked plan. His plan was that if his pundits could not defeat Ramanujacharya, then they were going to kill him. Ramanuja, being such a surrendered devotee of the Lord, his disciples being so surrendered to him, felt some uneasiness about this invitation. So Koresh and Mahapurana begged that they could go and for him. So they went in disguise. And the discussion went on. They were trained very nicely. They could not be defeated by these Shaivite pundits. So the king carried through his wicked plan. Mahapurana was quite elderly. They tortured him and tortured him and took out and blinded him. I'm sorry. They tortured him to such an extent, it was worse than that, that as he was elderly, he was not able to withstand the torture. And he died. Koresh, they tortured him. And he became blind. He went back after he was released to Ramanujacharya. Although he had been so so abused, he was so happy that he could do this. He could take his suffering
da je mogao preuzeti
that was going to be inflicted upon his spiritual master.
Trebala da bude urađena njegovom duhovnom učitelju.
But Ramanuja was so overwhelmed.
Ramanuja bio tako ovladan.
That this disciple would commit like this.
To
take on this suffering.
Da je njegov učenik mogao da
had been attacked and abused in such a way.
Mučen, da je bio tako napadnut i zlostavljan.
He was amazed by the love that his disciple had.
Iznenađen sa ljubavlju njegovog njegovih učenika.
He gave the disciple a particular order.
I dao im naredbu.
He requested the disciple to go and to do worship for one special deity.
Tražio od učenika da
odrede Varadaraj.
Obožavanje ino specijalno.
This is a very powerful deity. He asked them to regularly to make intense puja to this deity. At some point the puja became was so full of devotion that the deity itself requested how could he assist? What could he do? How could he serve this special devotee to Koresh? Koresh, even though he had been so abused, like in our seminar we're talking about forgiveness, even though the worst type of offense they were going to attack his guru, but they attacked him. When the deity appeared before him, he simply asked the deity, please forgive those, liberate those who have done this vicious attack, vicious assault upon him, and wanted to assault his guru. So Krishna responds to the order of his devotees. Like when Haridas Thakur was being beaten so much. But he was praying for the liberation of those who were beating him. Krishna said that he was ready to descend early just to stop what was happening to his special devotee. But when he descended to annihilate them, Haridas was praying that they would be liberated. And so Krishna himself then took the whips on his own back. That is Lord Chaitanya. And of course in this special time he revealed these whips that he had taken for Haridas. So the end of this is that when Ramanuja became aware that Varadaraj had appeared and had asked Koresh, what did he desire? But Koresh had only asked that these vicious attackers would be liberated. Again, he was overwhelmed with the proper, this type of disciple that he had, that had been sent to him. But he begged them, please go back. Continue your puja. But next time you request on my behalf that you receive your eyesight back. So again, he continued to worship. And the deity again, once again, appeared. And this time, only because his guru had requested, did he ask for his eyesight back. And so he was given his vision back. So the summary of all this we're trying to share myself now is that this is discipleship and this is guruship, where the disciple was totally sold out and just trying to do his service and serve his spiritual master, and the guru was totally sold out and appreciating, assisting, and having the power to reciprocate the tremendous love and devotion that his disciple had shown. So this is the wonderful process of initiation, guru-disciple relationship, the power of love that's connected with such. The one is even happy to receive difficulty as long as it can be of service to guru. And while guru is attentive and reciprocating and has the power to benedict and to bless due to the profundity of the devotion. So we pray that we can be like Sarangadev and do these initiations on behalf of Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada.
But
we can have disciples of the nature of Kuresh who understand the gravity of what this means, and due to that level of sincerity, they are being reciprocated with, as Ramanuja did with Mahapurana and Kuresh. Srila Prabhupada ji.